Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation with ghost hunter Marie Mason. When you find a location like that or someplace that you're interested in, we'll use Deadwood, South Dakota as an example, do you go there first and kind of do some research on it? And because that's a lot. You're having a lot of people coming in. How do you even start putting one of those events together?
First, I find out, are you interested in co-hosting an event with me? And I explain what I do. And if the town says yes, then I drive out there and I do walkthroughs. But at this point, to be completely honest with you, I don't even need to, because I already know that everywhere I go, something happens. So it's just, I'm a walking antenna. It's fine. But, you know, to some degree, you have to go to a location that, you know, has some history behind it. But I do, because I have to do the walkthroughs and aerial footage and trailers and, you know, but when I do these events, you know, it's for the public. So I have to stage it properly, meaning right. I have to make sure, okay, because I want the customers to get their money's worth too. So every location, I'll put fairy lights around because I don't want people to trip. You know, like the last one I did, the Bracken Fern, I don't want people to trip going into the basement, you know, so I like, and then I start figuring out, okay, how I could be in this room for 25 minutes, six people can go in this room, because I have to rotate it, you know, so everyone gets their money's worth. And so I do walkthroughs, I do area footage, I do get heebie-jeebies, but it's gotten so crazy with me that I honestly don't even have to, I swear to you. It's like, it's really easy for me. Like, I don't know what to say. If it's historical and it's got people from the past and there's residual energies, I have no doubt what's going to happen.
The Bracken Fern is one place I did want to talk to you about, because it looks haunted. You know, if you see a picture of it, could be, maybe not, maybe, but it's the story behind it, because it's got a prostitution and gambling and crime and mobsters and all that at this location.
So I did some homework and I found that it was another haunted location. But I want to also tell you that it did some, okay, so it's not all what you think. So people think, if I'm going to go see a ghost, I have to only go where it's haunted. That's not true. It's not true. I could tell you I have the proof. It's not true. You know, because you don't know what was there before. So back to Bracken Fern, the place is haunted. It has a lot of bad juju, a lot of bad energy. But to me, when I did my homework, it wasn't about Bracken Fern. It was about all the arrows that pointed to Bracken Fern. So what I mean is there were the Indian massacres that happened. Then there, I mean, I don't just do any random place. You got to do your homework. So there was the Indian massacres. Lake Arrowhead is a man-made lake, and to this day, there are underground tunnels that go 4,400 feet under the lake. Why? Military.
Oh.
Right? Yes. So then the other part is, you know, it's known for devil worshipers up there. It's known for it. It's known for it. And so the underground tunnels under the lake, where do they come up? The Boy Scouts. So you've got underground tunnels, sacrifice, devil worshipers, military. What else do we have? Mobsters. Well, there's one other thing that people do not put the pieces together, and that is Bigfoot. My friend Claudia Ackley, I went up there with her. She took a picture of Bigfoot with her three daughters and was on all the national news because she was like standing there hiking and they videotaped it. It's blurry, of course, but you know, she got a lot of attention. So you have Bigfoot, Indian massacres, military, devil worshipers, mobsters, all those pieces point to the Bracken Fern, you see? And that's what it's about. It's not just the Bracken Fern. It's all the pieces that, you know what I mean? And that place, but some places, it's not that they're too haunted, they're too dark. What I mean is the people that run the places become dark. That's what I mean. And that's what I run into a lot. Some of the employees at these haunted hotels are kooky. Like they become possessive. That's a fact. They become possessive. Like it's theirs and nobody can touch it. You know what I mean? So what I have to deal with is not the ghost. It's the people. it's dark, but Bracken Fern, we did that one last weekend, and you know, I took a picture of a ghost in the basement, big surprise. And, you know, there was, yeah. And everybody's like, it's easy, but there were some interesting things, but that is like a haunted hotel, if you will. The Glen Tavern is the one in Santa Paula that I did the Halloween events where 300 people came. That's the one where you need to know about Sharon Osbourne, what happened. The last 2 years I've done the Halloween at the Glen Tavern. And so I told you that the ghosts were talking and saying, you know, everyone, you know, what is mm-hmm. that? I mean, I want to quit. It was just a lot of stuff. So that what happened is I did my homework, and 308 is the haunted room, not 307. Every YouTuber and their brother has done 307. 307 is haunted. Why is it haunted? Oh, because he said so. Oh, okay. Why is it haunted? Oh, because I heard a friend that saw a YouTube that said it was haunted. Okay. So everybody thinks 307 is haunted because they copy each other. It's anyways, 308 is where I got all the evidence I've been telling you, where they talk and the German lady and all this stuff. So from my show, so much happened that there were undercover TV people there. And then, because they have to scout and find new locations. Well, what I did is I just showed them that 308 is the haunted room. So that gave the TV show something new to come to come see. Nobody had did a TV show at the Glen Tavern paranormal show for 8 years. I come in, I stir up all this shit, show proof, and the TV show comes. So the Jack Osbourne show comes because I stirred up all the shit. The owner says to them, if you're going to do a TV reality show, Marie needs to be here because she's the only paranormal investigator that's ever come here and got proof. Okay, that was a nice compliment.
Very.
So the TV show comes. They interview everyone. Finally, it's my turn. We go up to room 308, the Houdini suite. I'm sitting in the chair at the bar. Across from me is Sharon Osbourne and Jack. And I'm telling my story, playing the video. Okay, this is what they said. Here's the voice. Here's the seat. Here's the sentence. Here's this. Here's that. Sitting right there in that chair. And then, you know, then they pit me with the question, is it a demon? And then I'm like, oh, okay, it's TV. So I'm like, and I wasn't going to lie, Carol. So I said, well, I wouldn't say it's a demon, but there is a dark male here that doesn't like women. He pulled on my shirt when I was sleeping. And there's other people that have that. So I didn't lie. I'm not going to lie. So I said, well, you know, this is what I feel. And this is the entity I feel. Okay. So the next day they do their quote unquote filming for the lockdown section. So after they interview everyone, the next day they do the lockdown, Sharon Osbourne and Jack, they do the lockdown. Sharon goes into the same room, 308, the same seat that I told her sitting across that the room is haunted, the same seat. When I told her this room, this happened, the same room, same seat. And she collapsed. She collapsed in that chair, in the same chair that I told her as the paranormal investigator, this room's haunted. So she's rushed to the hospital and, you know, it's all under wraps, but TMZ finds out immediately. So when the show airs 10 months later, guess what? They cut my scene out.
Because they want it to be all about Jack and Sharon.
Exactly. And you know, by talking to me at this point, I'm a very, you know, alpha woman. So I was too, like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I would be overpowering. I'm not sure, you know, confident, too confident. I don't know. But she collapsed in the chair that I'm the paranormal investigator that told her something happens in this room.
And you just brought up something about demons. And, you know, there's a lot of the YouTube videos that you do see that are like, oh, we went and stayed at this haunted location and we encountered a demon. But, you know, there's a lot of people that were just really dark, bad people, like the man that you mentioned that didn't like women. There are really evil people on this earth. Maybe they've got some demonic in them. I don't know. But I don't think it has to be a demon. It could just have been a really horrible person.
Exactly. It could have been somebody who, like, you know, he was treated like shit, you know, and then he treated women like shit, and he's still that person. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I know that what I have photographed, if I have photographed it all, I have seen with my own eyes walking on my ceiling an entity. Like stuff you can't sleep over for a week.
No, I couldn't.
I've seen with my own eyes.
I'd have to move.
Like, so I was taking a lot of pictures. And then I started taking a picture of something in 4K right out front my door, you know, outside across the street. And then I think what happened is I invited them. I opened a portal. So then they were in my house and I took a picture of one. I was like, what the fuck? And I yelled, you can't be in my house. So then I had to do a prayer and a white light and get them out of here. You know, and I did. So I tell people, don't play this game in your house. Whatever you do, don't do it.
Well, and I was going to ask you about that because you have such a connection that is it hard physically for you, for example, the Bracken Fern? If you go to a location like that, that's pretty dark, does it suck out the energy? Are you someone, once you get through an event like that, I mean, it's physical, you're in control of a lot of people, there's a lot of moving parts, that would be tiring. But dealing with the paranormal, I think, could really physically take it out of you as well.
You're the only person that is smart enough to ever ask me that. You see, after these events, I'm channeling to some degree. And I am beyond exhausted. Like I have to collapse for a week after these events. People don't get it. It's like, it's not a game. You know, you're literally like when I'm in the room, like when I was in the basement, you know, I had three different groups come through and I'm in the basement and we're talking, communicating. I physically get like dry mouth. It just pulls all the energy out of you. It drains you. It drains you in such a way you can't even describe. Like, it's so exhausting. And so after all of these events, when I'm done, wherever I am, I have to collapse for a week. People don't get it. It's not because I was tired because I was running up and down three flights of stairs or handling all the people. It's a different thing. It drains me because I'm channeling to some degree.
I can't imagine, because that is what you're doing the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. And just being at a location like that. And it also sounds like you encounter things in lots of locations. So you might go, I got to get away from it. I need to go relax. I'm going to go stay at this resort, say. And then you would encounter something there. It just seems like you'd be someone who could encounter something no matter where you're at.
Right. To some degree, I've been learning how to, like, not turn it off, but try not to address it. So that's what I mean. Like, it's real. It's not a game. It's not YouTube. They're not editing the video 2 months in later. You know, I mean, it's raw and it's right there. And they talk and I have all these people and they all look at me and go, what did he say? What happened? What was that? You know, like just on and on and on and on and on, you know. But so what I'm doing, I'm trying to do the right thing. And so now I'm just booking these events where people can have this experience in a safe environment, in a historical location with, you know, all the paranormal equipment, because this stuff is expensive. You know, I bring $10,000 worth of equipment, you know, so everybody gets to try it without breaking the bank.
But what you do, though, is interesting. Well, educational, I should say, would be a better word, because, you know, there are people who are interested in doing paranormal investigations, but where the heck do you start? How do you do it? How do you get into a location like that? What equipment do you take? I think that if someone's interested in doing paranormal investigations, you have to have a mentor or someone who can help show you how to do it. And because I think there's doing it safely is important, like little things like putting the lights down and keeping somebody from falling down the stairs. That's pretty important. But I think too, when you're dealing with spirits, I think it just seems to me, you don't want them too attached. You know, you want to communicate, but you can't come home with me.
Right. And that's what a lot of the people that come to my events, it's that they want to try it. and they want, so I'm not having these events and selling $2,000 worth of ghost equipment. People are not doing it for that. They're doing it to try it once, you know, and then I get text messages. Like I've been still getting text messages from last week and somebody's going, oh my God, I really want, Marie, how much is that one thing? I think I'm interested. I want to buy the equipment. I'm like, oh, that one costs $400 that you had in your hand. Oh, maybe not. Yeah, that's right. What I thought. Like, you know, they're like, I'm really interested. When's your next event? You know, and it's okay. All of my events are sort of the same in the, they check in and then I always make a 15-minute dramatic professional cinematic movie on whatever location I'm at. So everyone is different. So I'll make these videos. It'll be educational, tell you, like, for example, Brackenfern, about the Indians, about the Bigfoot. And I have footage of all that because I did it with my friend. And I'll tell the story. Why are we here? Okay, well, what about the Indians? What about the tunnels? And I'll show it. So when they're done with the video and the video's over, it's like, okay, now you know why you're here. Let's go investigate. And so they get a cinematic movie. Then they come out and then we break them up into groups. Okay, you go to the third floor, you go to the second, you come to me to the basement, right? And every single time, the person will go, I'm like, look, there's a ghost on the SLS. Look. And they'll go, what are we looking at? Mm. Like, did you just watch my video? I showed you.
There was one video that I saw, and I think it was a haunted gold field. There was a really cool video that looked like it had drone footage going on. Did you do that one?
Yeah, I'm an FAA drone pilot.
It was really cool.
Yeah, that's me. I do drone footage. I'm a pilot, licensed FAA, licensed pilot. That's how all of my videos, I mean, they're really cinematic. They're good videos, you know, like I lay down music and, you know, the whole nine yards. You know, people are going to get top notch. That's what they're going to get. This isn't come look at me, hold a K2 meter. Nope. You're going to get to talk with a spirit box, the high-end DNA box, the SLS. You're going to get to hold it, walk around with it, experience it. I put blindfolds on people. I sit them down, play the game. You know, they get a good experience when they come to my events. What you need to know about Goldfield, Nevada. So Goldfield, Nevada is a big deal. And here's why. Goldfield, Nevada is where Zach Bagan from Ghost Adventures got his start. That is where Zach Bagan, 28 years ago, was in the basement of the hotel and a board flew across the basement. And that launched his career into what is now 28 years on TV. So Goldfield has that. Then Goldfield has the schoolhouse, which is haunted. Now, when I thought it was a schoolhouse, it's not a schoolhouse. It is a high school. It's three stories that held 400 kids at one time. Okay, it's big. So Goldfield has the start for Zach. Then you can come, if you're a paranormal investigator, you can rent out the schoolhouse for 6 hours. And that's really pricey, you know, if you're, you know, these YouTubers that want to go and do that. So you can rent out the schoolhouse and that's it, right? So the public, this is the first time that this is going to be like open to the public, that what I'm going to be doing. So there are buildings that nobody has been inside. For example, the Elks Lodge. The Elks Lodge is 20,000 square feet.
Whoa, it's huge.
It's two stories plus a basement. The boiler in the basement is as big as a car. It's huge, the Elks Lodge. Goldfield, Nevada made a lot of money. So what did they do with their money is they bought the most expensive brick buildings. You know, look at me. So in my event coming up in April, you're going to get the Elks Lodge, which is huge. You're going to get the Emporium, which the Emporium is across from the hotel. The basement all by itself is 8,000 square feet, just the basement. And that is where underground tunnels went to the hotel because it was a rough cowboy town. There were shootouts, gamblings. They would steal and rob the stagecoaches and the money. So they had to have underground tunnels. So in my event, we're going to have the Elks Lodge, the Emporium, and the schoolhouse. And because I'm a real ghost hunter, it's easy peasy. We are going to go to the Pioneer Cemetery at night.
That's what I saw. You had some drone footage over the cemetery.
Yes. Oh. And way back, what people don't know is you may see the cemetery and stop, but in the very back, is where the Pioneer Cemetery was. And what was neat about this cemetery is that they wrote down what you did for a living and how you died. You know, that's where there's this one guy died of eating too much paste. I don't know if he was in school or what, but so the Pioneer Cemetery at night is going to be awesome. We got the Elks Lodge, the high school, and the Emporium. And on top of that, the town is involved. The whole town is involved. So the town, it was so rough and tumbly that Wyatt Earp's brother, Virgil, was the sheriff in 1902. Okay, Virgil Earp. He actually died there. So Goldfield has Zach, Virgil, the mine, the Florence mine is still open. It's right now, he's doing tours. It's still open, meaning they're still pulling gold out right now.
Wow.
So this, the town is going to be involved. So the town is also going to give you a map with numbers on it. And you're supposed to drive around town and the number, you read the number and it'll say, here was where the bank was. Here is where the red light district was. Here's the library. And at those spots, certain spots, the town is going to be giving tours. So you're going to have all during the day, you can do that. Then you're going to be investigating. Each night is a different night with me. So one night I'll be in the high school. One night I'll be in the Elks Lodge. One night I'll be at the cemetery, you know? So these are big events. So it's a 3-day event. And this is something that the town has never done. This is something they're doing brand new, fresh, like capitalize on your own fame. And they're doing it. That's Goldfield. And I'm super excited about that. But Deadwood is 1 month after that is Deadwood. Now, what I did with Deadwood is I'm doing something at Deadwood that nobody has done. And that is in Deadwood, South Dakota, Wild Bill Hickok and Calamity Jane are both buried side by side at the cemetery. And I have permission from the city to do the investigation at night.
Ooh.
In the cemetery. So we're going to be talking at Wild Bill and Calamity Jane at night. We're going to bring her some whiskey and bring him a bullet. Right? So Deadwood is, we're going to do the Adams House, which is really beautiful Victorian. We're going to do Bullock's Hotel. We're going to do the brothel. The brothel in Deadwood was running all the way until 1980.
No.
It was still running as a brothel. Yeah.
I'll be damned.
Isn't that crazy? And then we're going to do the brothel, Bullock's, Adams House, and we're going to be doing the Fairmont Hotel, which we will have exclusively all three floors for the investigation. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be a wild weekend. 3 days is not enough, actually.
Do you have a team of people that helps you pull this off?
I have a team of people. I have a team of investigators. I have some investigators that come with me. But
good.
But when I go to different locations, I need to start incorporating other people in town that want to maybe help.
Mm-hmm.
I like to employ people like who wants to be the ticket person. You know, like I like to involve the towns. So I do have a team of investigators, but not a lot, you know, it's,
but it's that's a big undertaking. You know, there's multiple locations, it's multiple days. There's a lot of people coming in. I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot, but with Deadwood, I am collaborating with Deadwood History, Inc.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can't pull this event off unless you're collaborating properly. It's just, it won't work. So Deadwood is going to be huge. So this year, it's like Goldfield, Nevada, Deadwood. The next one I haven't announced that's coming up is Virginia City.
That would be amazing. So when you're talking about this, I'm thinking of the logistical side of it. And it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's impressive. It is a lot. Now, they can get information about all of the upcoming events we talked about. They can find you on Facebook. Ghost Hunter Marie Mason.
Yes.
Or at your website, which is ghosts, that's plural, ghostshunter.com.
Put the S in there, ghost.
It's plural, ghosts, which is hard to say. and so if somebody's listening to this even next year, they're getting caught up working through the back catalog. You have events going on all the time. So, you know, if you're going, well, darn, I missed that one in April, go to the website. She's got something else coming up.
But these bigger events, these bigger and better locations, just like I envision so much, just a big event. I just envision, you know, you have your weekend pass, you know, show starts at 6.
Yeah.
Or you're at the 6 o'clock or the 8 o'clock. And, you know, just I envision something bigger. And I already know because I busted my ass. And at this point, it's my calling, right? And so I want, you know, I'm turning this. It's a nonprofit, by the way. This is a nonprofit because I need to give back to these mm-hmm. historical locations.
I think that everybody should check out your website, your Facebook page, and YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Mason Exploring mm-hmm. on YouTube, and check it all out. And it would be so fun just to go on one of your events, because it isn't just show up at a haunted location. It's like a experience.
Exactly. And you know, like if you went to a historical location today and you went on a tour, okay, they're going to stick you behind the red ropes and they're going to say, over here is the uh-huh. bed and over here. With my tours, you get to literally get behind the scenes. You get to walk around. But yeah, so I really encourage people to start spreading the word, coming to my events, book them. You know, I try and keep the price reasonable. Like I can't, I mean, it's a lot of work. Big portion of the money goes to the town,
right?
You know, or the historical location, big portion. And, you know, I even try and throw in a daytime event, like for an inexpensive price, you know, like, cause I can catch a ghost during the day, but people need to, I need to start getting people to know who I am, branching off and start supporting me so I can support the towns. It's that simple.
Right. One, because you're helping them at the same time. Mm-hmm. They can go have fun, but they're also helping that community and preserving that history. So often these buildings and these places are being torn down or neglected to where they're falling down because they don't have the money they need for the upkeep. And this helps with that.
It helps. I mean, so for example, the parks, let's talk about Fort Tejon. So the parks, I am sure that there's some formula that they have to report to the state how many people visited your park this year. But if I come in and I do an event, what happens? Thousands of people come, hundreds maybe, come after me and go, oh, I heard about that event. I never knew about this place. I didn't make the event, but oh my God. And now you got visitors, repeat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one quick thing, where can people buy your book, The Ghosts of Randsburg?
Go to my webpage.
Okay.
Ghosthunter.com.
And it's ghostshunter.com with an S.
Ghost with an S. Yeah. Because there's more than one ghost.
So you can, because there are a lot of them. So you can get the book at the website and information about the events. Thank you so much for doing this.
I'm so glad that you reached out.
That wraps up our conversation with ghost hunter Marie Mason. For more information on Marie and her paranormal events, search for her on Facebook, Ghost Hunter Marie Mason, or go to her website, ghostshunter.com. That's ghosts, plural. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, you'll get everything commercial free if you become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.